Is this thing on? One, two, mic check, one, two. All right. What up, boy? What up?
Man, this is our city. This is our city, man. We did it, man. It's unbelievable.
Time to say reckless shit.
We've seen the story before.
We've seen the story before.
Big news! The Athletic NBA Show will now bring you even more content through the Athletic Audio Plus. Subscribe now for a free 30-day trial via Apple Podcasts to listen to bonus specials, exclusive interviews, Q&As, and more. And after your trial, it's only $1 a month for access to all Athletic Audio, plus bonus content across our entire network of shows. Check out the Athletic NBA Show's latest bonus episode now, only on Apple Podcasts.
Welcome to the Athletic NBA Show, Monday through on the Athletic Podcast Network.
Voy a hacer una mención también especial a mi compañero Kobe Bryant, que me gustaría muchísimo que estuviera aquí, pero así es la vida. Bueno.
I do have a take.
Point of contention.
What are y'all talking about? Y'all hating. Stop hating. Everybody hating.
I also like to apologize for burning down our house when I was 7 years old. Oh man. I don't remember ever apologizing for that, but.
Welcome to Point of Contention, 5 subjects, 5 minutes, 5 points of contention. I'm Zach Harper, Jake Hoy is producing. Coming up on the show, it's GM survey season. The Suns, Ayton playing around, standoff in Philly, fantasy hoops, and Pau Gasol calls it a career. In this corner, from the hard streets of Springfield, Massachusetts,
Long Meadow,
Celtics beat reporter and future author of the book, I Burned Down the House, The Real Truth Behind Paul Pierce, it's Jay the Kid King. Jay, better rapper, Damian Lillard or Mason Plumlee?
Oh, we're going to go with...
Don't you dare. I swear to
God. He's going
to
do it. Do it. Do it.
I'm not
do
in the
it.
Mood. I'm not in the
do
mood.
It.
I can't even pretend like Plumlee's better. I can't. But there's got to be someone in the Zeller family who's a better rapper than Mason Plumlee.
It has to be.
I guarantee, like... I don't know whether it's Cody, Tyler, the other one.
Put out a video, whatever that was.
I don't know what that was. I don't know. Is that in the Marvin Bagley the Third range, or is it actually good?
I honestly, watching that Plumlee thing, I just got chills, man. Like, just
you got chills.
I was just disgusted.
Oh, okay.
Like bad chills. Got like, it. Just cringeworthy. When he was like. Just shooting the $100 bill. Like, come
yeah,
on, man.
I like that he decided to rap over any beat that they might put in there, not just stick to one. So I like that he was trying to be versatile in that way. In this corner, Bay Area legend, author of two books about the Warriors and a brand new book on sale now, Dynasties, the 10 GOAT teams that changed the NBA forever. It's the one and only Marcus Thompson. Marcus, what was the 11th GOAT dynasty? What just missed the cut?
Oh, man, that's a tough one. I actually have a chapter called Near Dynasties, the people who were just on the cusp.
Okay, so buy the book to find out. That's a tease, ladies and gentlemen.
It could be the Frazier Knicks. I don't know. Maybe the Cowan Celtics. Who knows?
Ooh,
was it?
Wow.
Was it the
2020 Cavaliers?
I don't think we're going that far.
I'm guessing Jay just likes Dylan Windler.
Maybe Dr. J 76ers. I mean, there are some options here.
Wow. Okay. Check that out in stores now.
By the way, Jade. Dynasties was a huge Boston book. huge Boston. I mean, first off, you can't talk about NBA dynasties without talking about the Celtics. But I have a newfound affinity
Where's my copy?
I got to buy that shit. What are you talking
about? Yeah, exactly. Go to Barnes and Noble.
I'm out here like Mason Plumlee shooting the money. Right there.
You called him Marky Mark. That's where your copy went.
I'm like Mason Plumlee shooting the money gun, baby. We ain't giving away.
But then you're quickly collecting that money. Just making sure it doesn't go to anybody else.
Yeah, absolutely.
Did you happen to mention in the book, as you talk about the Celtics dynasties, that Bob Cousy was 10-17 in his playoff career before Bill Russell joined the organization? Did you mention that?
Of course.
Okay, good. I just want to make sure that everyone knows that Bob Cousy is strictly made by Bill Russell.
You might be the biggest Bob Cousy hater.
Truther. I'm the biggest Bob Cousy truther. It's me and Amin Alhassan. You know how hard it is to get me and Amin to agree on anything? That's how right we are.
I just want to know who y'all going against. Like, where is this Bob Cousy conversation happening?
And Christopher Mad Dog Russo. That's really all. Those are our two biggest components here to face off against. So
I didn't know about Cousy Twitter. My bad. I didn't know there was a whole wing of people. My fault.
No, anytime like Cousy comes up, whether there's a highlight video going around or whatever, Zach will quote tweet and be like, he shot 27% for his career.
No, it's okay. No, he's 37% for his career, but at least he ups it in the playoffs where he shoots 35%. He got worse in the playoffs. Bill Russell carried his ass. Let's just admit it. Okay?
It was a different era.
An era where you didn't have to be good to play basketball and win. All right. Jade, start the clock.
Fundamentally.
It's John Schumann season for take one. That's right, folks. It's the time of year when anonymous general managers across the league, they cast their votes on who's going to win the title, be MVP, have a breakout season, and many other things. This year, the GMs have the Brooklyn Nets as the heavy favorites to win the title, and their Grim Reaper, Kevin Durant, as the slight favorite, or should I say slim favorite, to win his second most valuable player award. Other notable items on this list: Luka selected as player most GMs would want to start a franchise with, followed by Giannis. Steph Curry is the best point guard in the league. The Heat with the overwhelmingly selected best offseason. Eric Spoelstra selected as best coach. There's a lot of interesting stuff in Schumann's article. Check it out at NBA.com. The GMs responded to 48 different questions about the best teams, players, coaches, and offseason moves. General managers were not permitted to vote for their own team or personnel. So, Marcus, what stood out in this year's GM survey for you? Were there any surprises?
The grandest travesty of them all.
Whoa! John Schumann.
Look, Schumann is incredible, right? Like, first off, if I was doing the GM survey
before he shits on it.
No, if I was doing a GM survey, it would, like, half of these would be me, right? Posing as GMs. You know, Schumann is actually talking to GMs, but me, it'd be like, I call my uncle up, be like, all right, you're Bob Myers. Who you got? Right? Like, so respect to Schumann for actually doing the work, but I'm looking the third ranking. It's like, okay, who's going to win the title? And then the next one is, the second ranking is Eastern Conference rankings. And I see Brooklyn and I see Milwaukee. Mm-hmm. I see Miami. I see Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. I see Atlanta.
Mm.
And then I see Boston.
It's John Schumann season.
Where's Chicago? Where are the Bulls, the top five teams in the East?
Just where they
should be. No, are you kidding?
Just where they should
Chicago is going to finish top. It's amazing the basketball executives do not know this, that Chicago is a top five team. I understand if Twitter doesn't know. I understand if Jay King doesn't know. They don't know the Bulls are top five.
They'll probably be in the play-in game. They'll be in the play-in tournament.
They
got a lot of talent.
Indiana over the Bulls.
How are Zach Levine,
what has this ever worked out?
Vucevic gonna guard anyone?
So who guards anybody these days? Who guards
a
anybody?
Lot of teams.
No, they don't. No,
a
they don't. Not in the East for sure.
I mean, they got worse after they made the trade for Vucevic. They got considerably worse.
But they didn't have DeMar DeRozan. They didn't have Lonzo Ball. They didn't have Zach LaVine coming off the Olympics where he became a better defender. All right. GMs, you should know better. I don't expect to be on this island by myself. I thought you were the thought leaders of the NBA, but you clearly missed this big one. So now I don't know if I can trust anything else.
Jay and I send a life raft for you to save you from this island. You're just saying, get out of here. I don't need it.
Closer!
No, I'll probably take the ref. I'll probably take the ref.
Jay, any surprises that made you angry on this? Like, I don't know, the Bulls not being a top five team in the East, despite not having a top five roster.
I just enjoyed that the Bucks still have no respect. Like, they went out and won a title, and everyone's like, yeah, the Nets are far and away the favorite to win the title. And it should be that way.
I mean, they're third. Because they're third on the list, right?
Yeah, but
no, they're second.
They just won a title.
They're second. Oh, or title contention at third. Yeah, second in the East. Yeah.
Basically, Nets were landslide favorite in the East, landslide favorite to win a title. And they should be.
This ventriloquist act that Jay is pulling right now is amazing, by the way.
If they're healthy, it's not even close. The Nets are the best team in the league. Doesn't matter what Milwaukee did last year.
Yeah.
But the Kyrie thing is going to be a little iffy for that, man. We'll see how that goes.
Yeah, the something that was interesting there was Kevin Durant picked as like the MVP, right? Which that must mean that they don't believe Kyrie's going to get vaccinated, because if all those guys are healthy and they're there for all 82 games or as many as possible,
how does Kevin Durant get the MVP?
Not going to win MVP, exactly. Right? Like, that's not going to happen.
They're saying Kevin Durant's going to carry a team that probably won't have Kyrie, or something's going to happen. Forget the vaccinations. The thing we thought about this Nets squad from the beginning was if they're all together, right? We don't know what it is, but at some point the universe is going to roll the dice and all three of them won't be there, right? All right. Now it's like, okay, so we got the thing, but we knew the thing was going to be the thing. So right. They're saying this thing is going to happen. Kevin Durant's going to be amazing, going to be MVP. And they're going to win a 72% chance of winning the title, which means what if they were all healthy? They probably think this is a landslide, like 101. But then again, right. Of course they think that, because they don't even think the Bulls are going to make the playoffs.
I don't even think the Nets need all three of them. They just need two of them. If two of them had been healthy last year, they would have beat the Bucks.
They might just need one of them.
If James Harden was walking around,
which then he's really like the MVP, right?
It's Kevin Durant, right? Yeah, they might just need Kevin Durant. Like, that team is that good.
They need Kevin Durant, and they need Joe Harris to make open shots in big moments. Like,
yeah, they need Joe Harris, not need. Wilt in the name of pressure. Jay, defend your boy.
They got Patty Mills coming in to hit threes. They don't even need Joe Harris anymore.
And they got bald Javon Carter to play some defense. You know, that's good.
And you know I love Javon. Oh, Javon is my guy.
He is a dog.
He is my guy. I love Javon Carter.
By the way,
we
got to stop doing this, GMs. If you were starting a franchise today and could sign any player, you would not sign 38-year-old LeBron James, okay? You just wouldn't. You're not going to start your franchise with LeBron.
I mean, why not? Nobody's saying you starting it to last 20 years. What if you just want to start it, get the title immediately?
No.
Well, here's the thing. If you have LeBron, somebody else is going to want to play with LeBron. So you have two. At least.
I'm just saying, when you start a franchise, you don't have to go 30 years down the line. You can be like, yo, I want to win a title right away.
What if you went 3 years down the line? Like the Vegas
Knights in the
NHL. What if you went 3 years?
If you did want to win a title right away, I don't think LeBron's the guy you'd choose even for this season.
I mean, I get that, but can't you see how somebody might say, I want to win a title right now, I'll take LeBron.
Yeah.
Right.
Absolutely.
But again, we're talking about GMs.
This is the first time I wouldn't say that.
I think it's just Pat Riley voting for this every year, saying, yeah, I'd like to sign LeBron. I think that's what it is.
Back. I like to sign LeBron back.
All right. Speaking of signing guys, how about not signing guys? Take two. DeAndre Ayton getting the max. Dateline, October 6th. By the way, happy birthday to my sister. From ESPN, the Phoenix Suns. She's not listening. Reluctance to offer a maximum rookie contract extension to 2018 number one overall pick, DeAndre Ayton has stalled discussions on a deal, according to sources. Ayton, a key part of the Suns' run to the 2021 NBA Finals, there's some editorializing right there, has no intention of accepting a deal less than the comparable max contract signed by several of his 2018 draft classmates, including Atlanta's Trae Young, Mavericks' Luka Doncic, OKC's Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, and Denver's Michael Porter Jr., sources told ESPN. Talks between the Suns and Ayton's reps have been slowed by ownership's assertion that Ayton doesn't deserve to be included in that group of players, and a belief by the seven-footer that his performance, his potential, and the marketplace dictate that he does. So what does this mean? Without a deal, Ayton could become a restricted free agent next summer. The Suns still hold matching rights on any offer sheet next season, but risking creating a level of acrimony with Ayton could impact the team's long-term relationship with him. Gordon Hayward in Utah, anybody? Jay, it's Robert Sarver. Any chance this backfires on the Suns, or is business, well, just business?
Absolutely, there's a chance this backfires on the Suns. They are mismanaging this. Ayton emerged as one of the best young players in the league last year, never mind just centers. During that playoff run, he was awesome, guarding at a high level. He shot, I think, 65-point-something percent from the field during the playoffs. And I also think if you don't pay him and give him the max, it sends a wrong message to him that buying into the team concept can backfire on him.
Yep.
And last season, part of what made him great was that he didn't sit on the block and call for the ball, and he didn't clog their offense with post-ups, and he did exactly what they wanted him to do. But if you're not going to reward him for that, then he's going to want to go out and get touches, get more touches, get more shots. And I think that can screw things up for them. He said recently, like, he wants the ball more often. And I can see this going sour for the Suns. It's not good to do this when a guy had such a powerhouse playoff run like he did, where he was great in every single series for them.
Yeah, Marcus, I mean, this is just classic Robert Sarver, right? This is asinine that they're not going to even extend. Like, it should be a no-brainer. You're extending a max extension to DeAndre Ayton off his rookie deal. But it's Robert Sarver. He's notoriously cheap. This is the thing people worried about. I think he surprised everybody when they signed Chris Paul to the $120 million over 4 years. Not necessarily that they signed him, but that then they also brought back Cameron Payne, because it was like, well, someone's got to go. DeAndre Ayton's not going to go necessarily, but he's going to get a max deal somewhere. You hope that if you're a Suns fan, you hope that it's not getting a max deal by them matching an offer sheet somewhere else.
I mean, initially, my first reaction was, is Ayton a max player?
Like, Crowder looking, throws it, alley of the hole! Ayton puts it down! He puts it
tight,
down!
Tight, 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 yeah!
It's over!
Blue, yellow, pink. Whatever, man. Just keep bringing me
down. At some point, somebody's got to hold the line. I get it. We came off a pandemic. Maybe you don't just dole them out.
Just real quick, imagine him in a Bulls uniform.
Now, but no, but then you brought up, this is Sarver we're talking about. So that means whatever decision they're deciding is not the right one.
Right, exactly.
So whatever percentage, I was like, you know what? I kind of feel.
It's blue.
But you can't pay Chris Paul all this money and then penny pinch on Ayton.
Hey, what's going to happen? Mikal Bridges also up for an extension. What's that going to be if Ayton's not a max deal? Like,
I don't understand. And look, what are they? The part that's wild about this is
blue, but it's the ball.
Is it because they're that far off? Because if you're $10 million short, even $20 million short, don't you do it just for the piece?
Just remember who you're working for.
What did you say?
I'm just saying, they got to know that they're working for you.
Like, they don't already know that? Are you saying that they're stupid?
We use a different chemical process.
Just for the piece? Just to keep things going? Just because you'll get it back in, I don't know, the Western Conference Finals you'll be going back to, right?
Maybe the NBA Finals.
Are they that far apart?
That's what the money is for.
And if so, come on, you're being ridiculous now. If you're saying this dude is worth, man, 150 max, you just pay him the extra just because this is what you do. Right. You know what I'm saying? So are they saying this dude is like 20 a year? Like,
right.
Bro, like, what are they saying? Like, that's the part that's crazy to me.
Did Sarver go like, oh, yeah, we'll give him Jared Allen money?
Are you saying that they're stupid?
Yeah. Like, that's insane if that's the case. Yeah, like, it should be such a no-brainer.
Even if you pay a little bit more, you do that because you just went to the finals. Like, you basically, the money you paid him over what you think he's valued, you take it off of what you just got.
And you're not going to lose him anytime soon because he's not going to sign the qualifying offer and leave. But you there's a good chance you mess this up, Jay, to where he does not want to sign that third contract with you.
Nah, I'm just saying. Okay, so you're not saying that they're stupid. So I don't understand. Are you saying that I'm stupid?
Was that it? Is that what you're doing? Tuco. Tuco. Hey, why don't we all just relax, huh?
No, I'm just saying.
And that's the thing. And then it pisses him off now. And then it's harder to buy into a team concept. And that's why a lot of teams have trouble after having success. Mm-hmm. Like, it's tough when you've got guys who think they deserve more money, guys who went to the finals and did a lot, and now, you know, management isn't treating them the way that they think they deserve. It just causes a whole lot of problems that just weren't there before in Phoenix and will probably exist now that Sarver has stepped in and botched this thing pretty badly.
So what are you telling Devin Booker? About all this, by the way.
Like, hey, he signed his extension, man. You good?
Remember that help?
You know?
Yeah. You know mm-hmm. the new route, right? Is sign the max and then ask out, and right?
So. Oh, well, it's so interesting you mentioned that, Marcus, because that takes me to take three. This game of chicken just got surprisingly but predictably expensive. Over in Philadelphia, the 76ers are having a standoff with player 2-5, and it continues. Kyle Newbeck of Philly Voice wrote, quote, despite assurances through various media members of note, a league source says the financial significance of holding out is starting to take hold in 2-5's camp. I don't think he wrote 2-5, but after being fined for missing Philadelphia's preseason loss to the Raptors on Monday night, a penalty of roughly $360,000. 2-5's reps had another discussion with the Players Association, in which it was reiterated they would be unable to recoup the money being deducted from the $8.25 million sitting in escrow, sources say, and it was communicated to the Sixers that these early fines were perhaps higher than they expected, which I do not understand how that would be the case, because we all knew it. If I knew what he was going to get fined, how do you not know what he's going to get fined?
You know, I have one simple request. And that is to have sharks with frickin' laser beams attached to their heads.
Oh, boy, this is getting ugly. Newbeck continues. There is significant interest in this situation throughout the league, all the way up to the league office, where sources have remarked on the unprecedented nature of 2-5's public attempt to get out of his rookie extension before the second year had started. The league is wary of players trying to force their way out after signing deals, Marcus, that are explicitly designed to allow teams to hold on to stars they've drafted, especially so as signs of discontent emerge in other situations, possibly, i.e. Zion and Nola. Marcus, what's happening? When will this end? And how?
It's going to end with Ben Simmons back in Philadelphia. And it was always going to end this way because, and I'm with you, I don't know how you didn't know this, who's walking away from the money? Like we knew this was the money for. Like, I get it in NFL, right? It's like you have no guaranteed contracts. You kind of gotta like take it up to the line and then see mm-hmm. how gangster you are, right? I get it. It doesn't work like this in the NBA. And the real problem, Jay, here's the buy. I don't think this is going to go away. They're not going to solve this problem. But you know who the problem doesn't work for? It doesn't work for dudes who sucked in the playoffs. That's who it doesn't work for. Right? It doesn't work after you're coming off this embarrassing showing and now you're out here puffing your chest. Like, this is what we've learned about this. Okay, it'll still work for somebody in the future where everybody's clamoring to get you, but this was played wrong from the beginning. Mm. Like, the dude missed. There's a photo of him, like, at the rim like this with Trae Young by him and he's passing the ball. As long as that's there, you better show up to camp, buddy.
That photo is the worst photo. Like, that is just such an incriminating photo. But I'm with you. He should have gone the James Harden route. James Harden showed up and
showed up
eventually. he showed up out of shape. He
reeking of Las Vegas.
The whole mask fiasco where he was with strippers or whatever. But he showed up and he showed up. He should have gone full Andrew Bynum. Wasn't there a practice when Andrew Bynum just shot the ball from wherever he caught a pass?
Yeah. Or do the Jimmy Butler,
he
right?
He was like, 75 feet away from the hoop just launching shots. That's what Ben Simmons should have done. He should have showed up and been such an asshole that they were like, okay, we need to trade
and
this guy.
And he would have got paid. Now, he would have got paid.
Yeah, now, yeah. Now he is getting fined every game. I think I saw that it was like it'll be $1.4 million he forfeits by not being there for the preseason, and it gets up to like $7 point something million
if he does it for the first month, that is a ton of money. Mm-hmm. Like, that is a lot of money for a guy to give up. At some point, he's just going to realize, like, this isn't working for me anymore. And he's going to show up. And then he's going to fake an injury. He's got to fake an injury.
I like 2-5. Right.
Shows up limping.
He has $147 million left. What are we doing?
Yeah, but you know what's nicer than that? $147 million that you get to collect. Right? If you collect all of it, doesn't matter.
But so if something happens and he ends up out of his contract, who's giving him $147 million?
The Kings, the Magic, nobody. The Wolves. They're a bunch of teams.
Nah, buddy.
Yeah.
Nah, buddy. They'd be like
the Cavs, perennial losers. The Magic, perennial losers.
115.
The Kings, the Wolves.
Well, they'd be like, man, we got 100 for you.
Shit, Robert Sarver might give him 147. Sarver. I'll take it to Sarver him.
Be like, yo, hey, my bad. Hey, you.
A trade idea I was thinking about:
Simmons
to the Bulls for Zach LaVine.
Simmons,
and like a couple firsts to the Bulls for Zach LaVine.
The only thing that's
I think that
doing
trade
it,
makes both teams.
The only
better.
Thing that's doing it is if Dame ever says, "You know what, I'm out." Otherwise, I think he's back.
Yeah, but Dame says I'm out. He doesn't want to go to Philadelphia.
You don't want to play with Joel Embiid after playing with Nurkic.
Play with Joel
Embiid. Nah, here you go.
Hell no.
I think he's gonna
go there. This is my question. Is it possible that it was lost in translation, despite it still being like Australia to United States of America? Is it possible it was lost in translation where they said, hey, you're going to be fine? And he thought they said, I'm going to be fine. Right? So he didn't know that these fines were coming. He didn't know the $360,000 were coming or being taken away from him. Is it possible, Jay, that he just missed the D on the end of fine?
I mean, you have to think something weird happened.
How could you not know?
How do you not know you're going to get fined if you're just not going to work?
It's insane.
Just not showing up to work and being very public about the fact that you're not going to show up for work. Yeah, at some point your employer is going to stop paying.
I think he was going with the Sean Carter logic from Paris, right? I think he was like, yo, I ball so hard. They're going to find me. But first they got to find me. And they he was like, yo, I'm hiding in LA. I'm hiding in LA. They can't find me. So they can't find me. I think that's what he was going with that.
Yeah, maybe he thought that he had that in order to get
like
fined,
you
got to
be there.
Actually give them the contract money, right? He actually had to do
like,
that.
You got to find me to collect it first.
Right, exactly. And they're just like, Malibu, we know where you are. It doesn't matter. We'll take it out of your check.
Like also, we don't care where you are. We'll
take the money. Yeah. I do think, though, that this is the perfect way for him to get traded. Because now if he shows up based simply on the fact that he's sick of losing money, he shows up, within a week he'll be gone. Because they won't want him around there. Joel Embiid said we traded Jimmy Butler to cater to you. And it was a mistake, by the way. Said it was a mistake.
Jimmy was another guy who handled wanting to get traded.
Absolutely. You have to make it uncomfortable. You have to make it awkward.
Showed up.
It's the only way that works.
Screamed at everyone. Took the third string.
We got people saying he was wearing a Rolex during practice and stuff and didn't take a shot and all this shit. Like
then the full Rachel Nichols interview right after practice. Like he'd set up the whole thing
amazing.
Just to make it as loud and obnoxious as possible.
We lost a big piece in Jimmy. He did a lot of great things for us, but we should be up there. I mean, on paper, we got a really good team. So now it's on us to go out there and actually prove it.
Rach, when he answered your question and he said, Jimmy's my guy, I wish he was here, I thought to myself, well, does Embiid not have the voice internally that so many of us thought? Because so many people figure Embiid is the guy. He is the face of this franchise. So if Embiid wanted Jimmy back that much and he went to ownership and said, I want him back, how bad were things behind the scenes that Jimmy isn't back in Philly?
Because he knew. He knew.
Needs to up his game a little bit to get traded.
You don't. I mean, maybe he ends up
2-5. 2-5, my bad.
It's all right. You got a bunch of these. They're each worth $360,000, by the way, in terms of fine money. we've got...
First, they got a finding.
I know, and I keep saying Springfield, Massachusetts, so we're not going to find him there. Maybe he ends up being a sleeper in fantasy basketball this season because you don't know when he's going to show up, but when he does, he's going to put up numbers. Speaking of, take four.
Are you struggling to close deals? B2B selling is tougher than ever, and that's why I want to tell you about LinkedIn Sales Navigator. LinkedIn Sales Navigator is a sales intelligence platform that helps professionals effectively prospect and engage high-value customers, drive higher revenue, and increase sales performance. Sales Navigator helps you target the right buyers, surface key signals, and show you hidden allies so that you can find those buyers that are most likely to convert. Fueled by LinkedIn's 1 billion member platform, Sales Navigator gives you up-to-date first-party data, enabling you to unlock conversations with the people that matter. Right now, you can try LinkedIn Sales Navigator and get a 60-day free trial at linkedin.com/NBAshow23. That's linkedin.com/NBAshow23 for a 60-day free trial. Let LinkedIn Sales Navigator help you sell like a superstar today. Just go to linkedin.com/NBAshow23 and get started.
Don't sleep.
Don't be a sleeper. It's fantasy basketball season, guys. Yes, folks, this is a sponsored segment brought to you by our friends at Sleeper app. Go and download the app for a new approach on fantasy basketball. You will certainly love it. Sleeper has released a brand new way of playing fantasy basketball. It's called Game Pick, and it's only available on Sleeper. In Game Pick, owners pick a single game per week for each starter to count towards their team's total score, ensuring an even number of games played between opponents. In Game Picks, you pick one game per week for each player based on, I don't know, player matchups, home versus away, opponent's defensive ranking, pace of play, whether or not they got fined $360,000, whatever you want to do. You can pick it any single way. And today, we're discussing forwards and centers. So, Jay, put on that fantasy hat for a minute. Who do you have your eye on at the forward and center positions for a possible fantasy sleeper?
I'm a sucker for guys who do it all. I'm a Jokic guy. He would be probably my number one overall pick. I love Jokic in fantasy football just because he does everything. He's got good percentages.
And then Jokic is terrible in fantasy football. What are you talking about?
Did I say fantasy
football? You sure did.
I'm stuck in the fantasy football grind right now. You know, yeah. trying to eke out wins every week. But he's probably a little better at fantasy basketball, which is what I would actually pick him in.
Marcus?
You know who I'm going with.
Oh, boy. Which bull are you going with?
All of them.
Marcus is really feeling himself because last year, in March, he was like, well, Lauri Markkanen's not on the Bulls anymore, so it's going to be tough.
But, that's who I'm picking.
Because Marcus is like, the Suns are going to the playoffs. They're going to the finals. And then they ended up in the finals. So now he just feels like he's tough.
I mean, every year you kind of got to, you know.
Yeah.
You know who I like? I like my sleeper is Jonathan Isaacs. I think he's going to be, I'm presuming he's going to be healthy. He's missed a lot of time. He came back. He didn't play very much last year, maybe half the season. I'm still waiting for that kind of breakout year from him, and I think he could get it, especially while nobody's paying attention to the Magic, right? Like, so in honor of the sleeper fantasy basketball, my sleeper is playing for the sleepiest team in the league, perhaps.
Well, since, yeah, they're definitely going to be asleep.
The other sleeper, Jaren Jackson.
Jackson. If he's healthy, man, that's a great
pick. Is that really a sleeper?
Yeah, because he's always hurt.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah, he's been hurt too. Yeah. Sort of like Isaac, where like he does so much for a team. And I just think his shooting, it separates him from most other bigs in the league. Like how many centers can shoot like Jaren Jackson does? Maybe Karl Towns, that's it. Like the volume he gets him up.
Karl Towns one of the best shooters in the league.
I think Jaren Jackson is ready to have a big, big year. I hope he is, because that means he stayed healthy.
I like that Jay was asked, hey, who's a fantasy basketball forward or center you want? He's like, what about the reigning MVP? I mean, yeah, of course. Like, that's.
I thought I didn't hear the sleeper part. I was like, maybe I just misheard that. But he was like, yo, pick your sleeper.
He's like, talking like it's 2016. Jokic. Like, this is.
Like, what? but then he was thinking for football. So he was thinking of a tight end sleeper. And then it kind of made sense.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let me tell you someone,
you know, who has to do it all now. For his team, we mentioned him, Karl Towns, man. Karl Towns is going to have a big year. Big year for fantasy basketball.
Sleeper. So, don't
he
sleep.
He always has a big year for fantasy basketball, though, doesn't he?
And whatever.
It just doesn't translate to
you
regular basketball.
Jokic. I get to pick literally anybody else after that because you've set the bar for sleeper at Jokic. Who's someone you want to stay away from? Who's someone you don't trust?
Anthony I'm gonna Davis go with.
How about that? Is he gonna play enough games? With sleeper doesn't matter, but
I would go with Joel Embiid.
That's right. Then I could have Anthony Davis.
Yeah, you got one a week.
Joel's gonna be awesome when he plays, but I just don't think he'll be worth the lofty draft spot that he goes in because he misses a lot of time, even in the best of seasons for him health wise.
Interesting.
You know, Zach, I'm picking this for you just because I either want to get a reaction out of you or agreement. But I'm staying away from Bam. Not enough ball in Miami.
Why?
Not enough ball in Miami.
You're out of your mind.
Kyle Lowry and Jimmy Butler and Tyler Hero trying to get a contract. They go ice out my guy Bam.
They run the offense through him.
They got ice. They did. They did run the offense through him. They used to, but you watch.
This man put up 18, 9, and 5 last
easy
year.
Easy too. Like easy.
Easy. At least a steal and a block.
And then went to the Olympics.
He shoots 57%.
And then he went to the Olympics.
The only thing he doesn't do is shoot threes.
And yeah, he's gonna get the team USA boost too.
Yeah, I agree with you. Man, they're gonna freeze him out. They're gonna freeze him out. There's not enough ball. There's not enough ball in Miami.
All those guys are old, man. They're gonna be hurt all season long, and Bam is just gonna be dragging.
Hold on, you think Kyle Lowry is coming to dump the ball into the post? Come on. You think Tyler Hero cares about how good Bam Adebayo is while he's trying
to
resurrect his career?
I don't think Tyler Hero runs shit anymore there. I think there was about a month where he could have, and now they're just like, yo, it's you over. Get your Jack Harlow ass out of here. Like, you better hit some shots.
Duncan Robinson, Tyler Hero, Kyle Lowry, and Jimmy Butler will conspire to keep down my man Bam Adebayo. That's
Bam
my prediction.
Bam Adebayo is going to be a top 5 center.
He might average 25 and 10. I was trying to get a rise out of you.
You got a rise out of me. I'm no longer asleep. Here we go. All right. Speaking of big men, take 5. Goodbye, farewell, adios, Pau Gasol. Pau Gasol announced his retirement from basketball on Tuesday, ending a career that lasted more than 2 decades and earned him 2 NBA titles and a world championship gold with Spain's national team. Gasol averaged 17-9 over 1,200 games with 5 NBA teams, including Memphis, Chicago, San Antonio, the Bucks, and of course the Lakers. He was the number 3 pick in the 2001 NBA draft, being selected by Atlanta and traded to Memphis. Let's not forget, isn't he the one that patted Chris Paul in the head and got reprimanded by CP3 for doing so? We learned that that moment, Chris Paul does not like the top of his head touched at all. The former Lakers big man is expected to soon join the ranks of franchise immortals as the team reportedly plans to retire his jersey. So, Marcus, what are your thoughts on Powell's contributions to the game of basketball?
Underrated contributions to the hoop. Number one, I mean, I think we sleep on, especially now, like everybody, Kobe is such a revered figure. Like, he's been so lionized. I think we got to credit Powell for... Man, he had Kobe like leaning on him, like, you're my guy. I mean, Kobe don't do that for anybody. Mm-hmm. He barely did it for Shaq, right? But he's just like, yo, you're my guy. And they won 2 titles together. Like, that to me, that's a big deal. Powell gave us low-key, indirectly, Mark Gasol, right? Like, big brother, you know what I'm saying? Like, that, he got to get some credit for that. You could argue he gave us Manu. Like, Powell made us pay attention to international basketball. Like, the way they were cooking USA, right? It's like, hold on. And keep in mind, and Jay, I know you know what I'm talking about, this perception, especially from the 90s, about European basketball bigs, right? Soft, can't play, like, not very good, can't hang on the court. Powell was a big reason. They were like, hold on, you're not about to just write us off as soft, right? Like, and kind of opened up some minds.
2010, when they beat the Celtics, he came back physical and really dominated that game 7 physically. He was so good. I'm with you. He'll always be underrated. He only averaged 20 points per game twice. And he never averaged even 21 points per game once in his career. If you look at the stats, you'll forever underrate him. He's huge, first of all. Yeah, he's
legit 7'1", yeah. As tall as
and
he
like
gets.
250. And then just so, like, ain't not skinny.
So skilled. And what he did to transform the Lakers when he got there, like he took them from an interesting team with Kobe to, okay, they're solidified because of how good he was. And then the Spanish national team, you think back to, what was it, 2012, 2008, when the Team USA was just loaded up with LeBron, Dwayne Wade, Kobe, everybody. And that Spanish team gave them fits. That Spanish team for, what, 15, 20 years has been a factor on the international level. And a lot of it is because of Pau Gasol, the culture he set, the level he played at. And, man, like, that dude's imprint on the game.
When you talk about the globalization of basketball, like, Pau Gasol is a huge part of that.
Yeah. He was 18-10-2-2 with points, rebounds, assists, and blocks at 60% from the field in the 2009 finals when they took down the Magic. And then the 2010 finals, 18.6 points, 11.6 rebounds, 3.7 assists, 2.6 blocks, 48% from the field against the Celtics in seven games. Like,
that's all against Garnett.
Yeah.
Garnett and Perkins, you know, like two real defenders.
Yeah, KG, Perk, and Sheed was still a solid defender at that point too, right? Like, yeah, like that's against a good ass front line. Like that, and that closeout game, game seven, 19-18-4. 19-18-4. He didn't shoot well, but man, he got a lot.
He understood the assignment, man. He was good. He was talkative. Like, he was he understood the assignment. And to be
he would go around his back. Like, he had skill.
Like, he
man.
Knew what was up, man. He was like, he was putting on the map, man. Like, you could tell he knew what, like, was at stake. And I think that those elements are underrated. Great guy, like, easy to talk to, like, you know, did his part. Like, yeah, people we'll sleep on him, like, generally speaking, but the people who know just how good Pau was.
Me voy a retirar del baloncesto profesional. Es una decisión difícil, como os podéis imaginar, después de tantísimos años. Pero es una decisión meditada y bueno, hay que cambiar un poco de marcha y también saber disfrutar, ¿no? Y yo creo que una de las cosas que quería también era acabar jugando y disfrutando, no por una lesión, no en muletas y con operaciones, ¿no? Así que muy agradecido a todos los que habéis contribuido a que eso fuera una realidad, haber ganado una liga más con el Barça, con el club que empezamos a jugar, empecé a jugar yo a los 16 años y debuté con 18 y luego jugar unos quintos Juegos Olímpicos con mis compañeros, bueno, es algo muy especial, así que muchas gracias. Muchos de los doctores bueno, no las tenían todas consigo mismos. Había mucha gente, yo creo, que creyera que me pudiera recuperar y poder volver a jugar en aquellos momentos, ya con, ¿no?, pues 39, 40 años, con todos los partidos y campeonatos que he podido jugar. Pero bueno, yo soy una persona de retos, como sabéis, los que me conocéis bien, que prácticamente sois todos aquí, y me apetecía un poco, pues, luchar por lo improbable, ¿no? Quería hacer una mención también especial a mi compañero Kobe Bryant, que me gustaría muchísimo que estuviera aquí, pero así es la vida. Bueno. Mucho de menos tanto a él como a su hija Gigi, pero me enseñó a ser un mejor líder, un mejor competidor, lo que significaba ser realmente un ganador. Así que, aparte que, bueno, yo siempre lo he considerado como un hermano mayor. Así que gracias, Kobe.
Yeah, and that's why Kobe was so fired up when they got him, because he's like, okay, this dude is going to give us a real chance.
that we haven't had since Shaq left.
That first game.
And he knew it. He knew it right away.
The first game with the Lakers in the playoffs in 2008 against Denver, 36 points, 16 rebounds, 8 assists, 3 blocks, 14 of 20 from the field, 8 of 8 from the line.
Monster. Yeah, he could just do
that.
Everything.
He could do that for sure.
Yeah, he did it all. So, yeah, salute to Pau Gasol on a Hall of Fame career. He'll be a first ballot Hall of Famer. And that's going to do it for this week's edition of the Point of Contention podcast. Don't forget to subscribe to all the shows on the Athletic Podcast Network. Warriors Plus Minus, Anything is Potable, Down to Dunk, No Dunks, and many more. For Jay King, for Marcus Thompson, for Jade Hoy, I'm Zach Harper. Keep it locked in on the Athletic and subscribe for crying out loud.
Here's one of the best big men in professional basketball, and he proved it all season, especially in Game 7 of the NBA Finals. From your 2010 World Champion Los Angeles Lakers, please.
I mean, there's not anywhere you can go. You can go and hide, right?
Nah, not really. Nah, my hide is pretty obvious, and I can't really hide anywhere. Even if I sit, I still stand out. I went out once with my friends and stuff. Wanted to celebrate a little bit after the craziness, and we were at the club, and everybody wants to get a picture of you, wants to hug you, and everybody's appreciative of what you've done. They want to congratulate you. There's a couple guys that wanted to come and offer me bottles of liquor, all right? And I already had bottles. So, but the guy's like, I want to buy you 3 bottles. And I'm like, no, man, I'm good. I'm not that thirsty. I mean, I want to celebrate. I gotta get home. And he's like, okay, 4 bottles. He tells me 4 bottles. I'm like, no, I really don't need anything. Thank you so much. But, I just can't. I'm not going to drink them. I'm not going to waste them. Okay, and the guy takes it personally. I'm like, 5 bottles. And I'm like, okay, he's not getting the message here. I said, thank you, but no. And then the guy wants to hug me, and the security guards were kind of, holding him back a little. And he happened to be a prince. He told me he was from Kuwait. And he happened to be a prince, and obviously the guy didn't want to be touched. So, I got into a situation there where I thought that, later on I was like, shit, I should have accepted the bottles and prevent all this craziness from happening.
What did it go up to, like 6 bottles? I'm a prince, 6?
And I finally hugged them, and they let him go, and it was cool.
I'm going to try that. When I go to a bar, I'm going to say, I'm the Duke of Durango. Please.